Right? And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Cause to come out now, what will fit them perfectly a month from now or a year from now, a different time zone and culture. He can do it, though. He does it all the time. And believing with them that they'll be able to focus and hear what they need to hear, receive what they need to receive. Amen.
Amen.
All right, ready here. David's ready. Goliath's not ready. He thinks he is, but he's not. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He's cursed David by his gods.
Class, class for me, please. Thank you so much. Have quiet on the set, please. And here we go. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. God's will is always and only overcoming, victory. Never is His plan and will for you to be overcome or defeated. Don't think that. Don't listen to it. Don't believe it. Now, you may have experienced defeats, but it wasn't God ordained. And the way to stop that is to seek Him more about how He wants you to do things instead of just doing things on your own. Failures are not God-made. They are people made. And if it's us, then it's us made. But let's make a change. And your being with us today is a great start, because the way your faith develops and God becomes more real to you is by giving Him your attention and giving Him your time and letting His words come into you. It will feed your faith. Father, all of us agree together as touching this. We're asking You for the utterance, for the anointing, for the grace, for the strength. Open your word to us and open our eyes and hearts to see and hear and understand it. And grant, Lord, that we may be able to draw nearer to You, that You may respond and draw near to us, and that we may experience You and know You greater and more than before. We ask it in Jesus' name. We thank You for it. Amen.
Amen.
If you would look in the Scriptures today again to Psalm 23, we've been on a series for some weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. Now, if you've been with us in any of our previous sessions, you know we talked about faith for healing, and we've talked about overcoming unbelief and a number of things. And in fact, if you go to faithschool.org, our website for Faith School, you'll find hundreds of previous lessons on faith that we're building on to get to this point. And it's all at no charge, no commitment required, just available there for you, faithschool.org. And the reason we're taking time for faith for provision is because your faith must be fed in every area. You might have strong faith that you are saved and that when you die, you won't go to hell. You'll go to heaven. You'll go to be with the Lord, and that you won't be judged for your sins because Jesus was judged in your place. You might have strong, unwavering faith about that because you've heard that. You've heard about that. But you could have strong faith there and have no faith at all to receive a healing, or have no faith at all to pay your bills. Why? Well, Scripture says faith comes by hearing. What have you heard? And in fact, some people have gone to places where they told them the opposite of the word, and what they heard took faith away from them. Hearing the wrong things, if you'll accept it and believe it, will rob you of your faith for these things. So we're talking about now faith for provision. You need things in this life. You need every day of your life. You need something to eat. You need something to wear. You need a place to stay, a place to sleep. If you have a family, for your family. I mean, the list goes on. A way to get around, provision. And does God want us to have it? Or does He not? Does He have different choices and plans for different people? Some people He wants them to be rich. Some people He wants them to be poor. And people sometimes scratch their head and go, oh, we don't know. It's just a mystery. It's an unknowable mystery. No, we got a book. I said, we got a book. Yes. And the book, God's Word, is God's will. Amen. It reveals Him, His will, His plan. And so what we're submitting, and we've been on it for a number of weeks now, is that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. I know a lot of church-going people don't believe it, but I do. And I'm not just saying I do because that's my opinion. We're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture and multiple verses for each reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. If that's true, if we're giving reason after reason, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, let it be confirmed. Well, we're giving two and three and four and five and ten. If that's true and you respect the word, then why don't you agree with us? Yeah. Right? That it is His will for me to have abundant provision. Everybody say it out loud. Abundant provision, is always God's will, for us all. Say it again. Abundant provision, is always God's will, for me. Hallelujah. And we're up today in last week's studies to the 15th reason in our study. So we are halfway through our 30 reasons. Let me give you a quick review. Reason number one was right here in Psalm 23. I mean, what Christian, church-going Christian, believing Christian, doesn't like Psalm 23? The 23rd Psalm? I mean, all Christians like the 23rd Psalm. Have you ever paid attention to what it says? Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm often in need. No. I frequently run out?
No.
What did he say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That same word in the same King James Bible is translated lack. I shall not lack or need or fail. Other translations say it like this. The Lord is my shepherd. The NIV says, I shall not be in want. God's Word translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need." The Holman translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack." The NIRV says, "The Lord is my shepherd, He gives me everything I need." The BBE says, "The Lord takes care of me as His sheep, I will not be without any good thing." Well, you know, the 34th Psalm talks about that. "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Should we believe these verses or not?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
I'm looking at you. Should we believe this?
Yes.
Or just kind of pass it over and ignore? No. You cannot ascertain the will of God by everything that's happening or not happening in this ungodly, cursed world. There's all manner of evil things that are happening in this world that are not God's will, not His plan, not pleasing to Him. So if you try to look at what's going on and imagine that everything that's happening is somehow the will of God, you're confused. You're being tricked. You go to the Word to find out His will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He doesn't change. If He ever said, "This is my will," that's always His will. He never changes. It's His will for everybody. He's no respecter of persons. And it is true that if the Lord is your shepherd and you'll listen to Him and follow Him, you shall not want.
Amen.
The easy to read says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need." Go ahead and confess it. Say, "The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I will always have everything,
I need."
Why? Not because I'm so smart and pretty. What? It's because I got a good shepherd.
Amen.
And He's taking care of me. Now, I do have to follow my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I don't follow Him, well, you know, I can't count on provision. If I'm out doing my own thing, not listening to Him, not following Him, because He is leading to the green pastures. He's leading by the still waters. He's preparing a table, before my enemies. He's the one that's doing it. So if I'm ignoring Him, doing my own thing, then you wind up in places you shouldn't be. And in places where you shouldn't be, at times you shouldn't be there, things happen that shouldn't happen. But don't blame it on God.
That's right.
Don't blame it on God. Quit being a rebellious little sheep. Huh? And get back and follow close.
Amen.
Like the psalmist said, "My soul follows hard after Thee." Amen. If the Lord stops real quick, your nose should press into His back. Go, "Oh, sorry, Lord. Didn't know You was going to stop." Why? Because He knows where He's going.
Yes.
Right? And He's taking you to a good place.
Amen.
So stay close. Amen. Stay really close. That was our first point. The second one was the goodness of God. The third one was the fatherhood of God. The fourth one was the creation of God. The fifth one was God's will in heaven. Nobody broke and poor there. The sixth one was the God of Abraham. If you tried to tell Abraham that God might want you broke, he would think you're speaking a foreign language. He would not understand what you're talking about. The seventh reason was we are the seed of Abraham, and the Bible tells us His blessing belongs to us. The eighth one was the blessing of tithing. Abraham was a tither, and Malachi talks about if you'll honor the Lord with your tithes and first fruits, that He will open the windows of heaven, pour out blessing on you that you don't have room to contain and receive, and He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Does that sound like being poor?
No.
And broke?
No.
And consumed? No, no. We talked about the ninth reason, honor and riches, that if you would honor Him, He would honor you, and part of that includes material provision. We talked about number 10, wisdom and wealth. I mean, if you read the Psalms, you read the Proverbs, you read Ecclesiastes, numerous times it talks about if you're a fool, you'll be broke and destroyed and devastated, but if you walk wise, you'll prosper, you'll live long, you'll have riches. Well, if we follow Him and seek His wisdom and then we're broke, that's confusing.
Right?
Because the Word says it, that's not the way it would be. No, wealth goes with godly wisdom. And then he talked about number 11 being imitators of God. We talked about how He is the great I Am, number 12. Number 13, we talked about all the names, or not all of them, but several of the names of God, among which is El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, and we could not find anything remotely resembling El Cheapo. Nowhere. Only the God who's more than enough. Amen. The God who supplies all your needs, right?
Yes.
Well, no, we laugh, but you got a lot of people that's trying to say or leave the impression that their lack, that their poverty is somehow God's mysterious will. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Believe the Word.
Yes.
Believe the Word. We talked about, number 14 in our study, the God of restoration. We saw how that even if you really messed up, even if you were defiant, rebellious, disobedient, if and when you would repent, even if you had lost everything, God is the God of restoration. He will restore you, not just to where you were, better than before. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious, gracious God. And now number 15, we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all, because God is the God of provision, and because of His provision in the wilderness. We have a lot of scripture that talks about how God provided for His first covenant people, Israel, when He delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He provided for them in the wilderness. Now, why is that a significant point? He could have done it differently, but He purposely provided for them in miraculous, spectacular fashion in places where it was desolate. Absolutely no food, no water, no places to go buy anything or get anything. Desolate, barren wilderness. He did this repeatedly. He did it year after year. Why? Especially in the beginning. Now, it wasn't His plan that it happened as long as it did. That got back to their rebellion, not listening, for 40 years. But initially, it was His plan to show them and all of us that He can and will provide anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are, what conditions you're in, God provides in the wilderness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In Deuteronomy 2 and 7, Deuteronomy 2, 7, it says, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing." That entire time, in this bleak baking oven desert, nobody starved to death. Nobody died from lack of water. Is this amazing?
Yes.
Not for a few months. Decades. Now, who are we talking about providing here? We're talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
So I reckon He could come up with some water. Right?
Right.
Huh? The God who created the planets, the solar system, the galaxy. So He could come up with some food. And He demonstrated it and did it in some ways no one had ever heard of before. Manna fell out of the sky. Nobody ever heard such a thing before. And it fell with the dew. And then when the dew evaporated, You had a flake of something that could be made into flour and made into bread. And the Bible called it angel's food. It came down from above. And then water. Water out of rock, out of boulders. And you got to remember, we're not talking about a trickle or a little stream. We're talking about enough water to feed, at least 1 to 2 million people to quench their thirst, plus all of their hundreds of thousands of livestock. All of, how much water can one camel drink? And they had thousands of camels, donkeys, horses, sheep, cows, goats. The list goes on. So we're talking a literal river of water that flowed and flowed and flowed. And it just came out of, you might say, nowhere. It just came out of where there was barren, baking rocks in the hot desert. All at once it erupted. The rocks cracked open, and here comes this flood of water. From where? Somewhere deep in the earth.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And God did this repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And then when they wanted meat, and they said, we're tired of manna, he flew in fresh quail without an airplane.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Yeah. And he flew them in. By the, scores of thousands. They flew in so many, they piled up, 2 and 3 feet high outside the camp. And where'd they come from? Where did that many quail come from? Right? What's God showing and demonstrating? It doesn't matter where you are.
Yes.
Huh? It doesn't matter what's going on around you. How bleak, how barren, how hard times are around you, that does not limit God. If you've never heard of it before, that doesn't limit God. If you've never seen anything like that before, it doesn't limit God. He's not limited by any of these external things that He created to start with. He can certainly change it. He made it. And so that's what we want to get in our spirit from these words. Said out loud, my God,
my God
can provide
anywhere,
in any conditions, at any time.
Hallelujah.
One of the great truths, that you'll hear, at least in our circles, is Philippians 4:19. If you don't have that one marked, you ought to mark it. Philippians 4:19. Paul was saying by the Spirit to people that were his partners in ministry and that had supported him repeatedly, helping him when he needed things. He said, I want you to know that my God, and I'm going to paraphrase, my God that has supplied all my needs, that my God shall supply all your needs and according to what? According to His riches, not down here, in glory. His riches in glory. God is not limited by what we see and hear down here. He is not limited by what we have experienced or have not experienced. And He demonstrated this. He did this on purpose. The manna, the water from the rock, the quail being brought in. He could have done it, thousands of different ways. He chose to do it this way because He wanted you and I and everybody that would come after to notice and realize, I don't have to have a grocery store. I don't have to have a field nearby. I don't have to have a storehouse of this or that. I don't have to have this government program or aid program. I don't have to have anything. Mm-hmm. in the natural around you to provide for you spectacularly. Oh, hallelujah. To provide for you miraculously, abundantly, wonderfully. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I believe it. I believe it. In Nehemiah 9, if you'd notice this and go here. Nehemiah 9 and verse 19. He's recounting the same thing. Nehemiah 9:19, he said, "You in your manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness." Now, one thing to remember is they weren't acting wonderfully during all this. They were questioning him. They were doubting him. They were disobeying him. And yet, in his great mercy, he still took care of them.
Hallelujah.
This is something. You didn't forsake them. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Is he still leading his people today?
Yes,
yes he is. You gave them also, you gave also your good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old and their feet swelled not.
Hallelujah.
He's demonstrating and showing. He said, well, you know, where are you going to find any new shoes? You know, you're going to need some new shoes in 40 years, right?
Yeah.
Huh? The ladies answered first on that one. I heard that they were like, are you kidding? 40 years between shoes? But what the Lord is saying, not if I keep your shoes. Huh? I can keep your shoes where they don't wear out. And your clothes. Is this amazing or not? The clothes didn't wear out. And the shoes didn't wear out. And the manna didn't stop. And the water kept coming. What should that do for us? That should comfort us.
Yes.
Right? That should console us. That should assure us to what? That God's going to take care of me. And it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around me. It doesn't matter what's going on in the governments or in the places where we're working, or the schools, or the communities, or not to say that there's, if it's problems that you won't have to believe through it and the Lord sustain you, but even if everything, it bottoms out, God will still be faithful to those that trust Him, and He can take care of you no matter where you are. The devil's a liar. He keeps trying to convince people, oh, not here. That doesn't work here. I've heard people say, oh, that message you preach, that provision message, that faith message, that doesn't work here in this third world country. Well, as long as you call it that and believe that, well, you're locked down. But it'll work anywhere because God can work anywhere. And don't you believe a lie. He can prosper you in the midst, right in the middle of the worst poverty on the planet, and He wants to do it because the light shines the brightest in the darkest places. He wants to do it. He wants to demonstrate how He can save, how He can provide, how He can work, and even give surplus when there is nothing to be found anywhere in any direction. That's a sign and a wonder. Isn't it? Where people look and go, how did you get that? Where did that come from? And you go, there's a God. There's a Jehovah Jireh. There's a El Shaddai. And He provides in the wilderness. Well, our time's up. Everybody say, I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I overcome the world. By faith.
By faith.
I'm strong in faith.
I'm strong in faith.
Giving glory to God.
Giving glory to God.
Hallelujah. There's a lot more to be seen about this. Come back, join us tomorrow here in Faith School.
And we're clear.
Hallelujah.